Good morning. Our relationships matter to God. And this morning, this text is giving us the law and the gospel at the same time. But let me begin by telling you a short story. An American anthropologist studying the habits and customs of an African tribe decided to go to Africa, and particularly, in this case, he went to Zimbabwe. And most of the time, he found himself surrounded with the kids, with the children. So he decided to play a little game with them. And he managed to go to a nearby township to buy some candies. And he brought the candies and put them in a basket, decorated the basket, and put them at the foot of the tree. So the anthropologist called the children and suggested that they play the game. So I will call the kids. I'll call the kids to come and play the game with me. Please come forward. So the anthropologist said, you know, with the kids like this. So when I say now, you should run to the tree. And anyone who gets to the tree first will get the candies and eat the candies by him or herself. So when the time to start the game, so the anthropologist said, now. And then the kids put their hands together and they started to run to get the candies. Please sit down. So they ran towards the tree to get the candies. And so when they arrived there, the kids, they started to share the candies together. They shared. And when they shared the candies, they begin to eat, you know, they begin to munch away those candies. And the anthropologist was observing. He was amazed, was astonished. Why? I mean, why the kids did this? So he followed where they've been eating their candies. And he asked, why did you run together when one of you could have had the candies by him or herself? And the kids responded, Ubuntu. So the word I'm using here is a Zulu word, U-B-U-T-U, Ubuntu. That was the response from the kids. So first, before I decided to come and preach here, I asked Jonathan. Jonathan was in South Africa last year during the summer. I said, Jonathan, when you went to South Africa, which word did you hear most of the time when you're in South Africa? And he confirmed that the word Ubuntu was the common word that was used when he was in South Africa. So Ubuntu is a word in African philosophy, which literally means I am what I am because of who we are. So Ubuntu is a difficult term to explain in the Western language. It's very difficult because we use it in many times. The same word is used many times. At one day, you'll use that word 1,000 times in different ways, in different meanings. That same word. And what does that mean? It speaks the very essence of the human being. Ubuntu is, it means my humanity is inextricably bound up in yours. We belong in a bundle of life. And this philosophy describes an ideal for life in a community. When we provide a safe space for one another, when we encourage one another, when we find space to collaborate, when we create community, and better yet, Ubuntu. We believe that the central place in striving for Ubuntu is development and care for peace. So here's the thing. We are made for goodness as a community. We are made for love. We are made for friendliness. We are made for togetherness. We are made for beautiful things that you and I know. We are made to tell the world that there are no world of outsiders. We all belong to a family, this human family, God's family. So this term Ubuntu, you'll hear like a statement which says, Ubuntu, ngumuntu, abanye abantu. Like I said, you hear this phrase in many ways. Umuntu, ngumuntu, abanye abantu in Zulu. What does that mean? This African proverb reveals a worldview of that we owe our selfhood to others. That we are first and foremost social beings. That if you will, no person's island. In other words, in African worldview again, we say one finger cannot pick up a grain. So Ubuntu is, and at the same time, a deeply personal philosophy that calls on us to mirror the humanity of each other. So my brothers and sisters, this morning, God cares about our relationships. This is why you see these kids, they are saying, if one of me cannot get this candy, I will be sad. It talks about relationships. It cares deeply and passionately about how we treat each other because God loves us all and all of us. So the text this morning on the Sermon on the Mount begins to turn the perspective of the disciples outside themselves. And this sermon offers an ethics of discipleship grounded in the authority and the person of the Lord. They are not disciples for their own selves and their own actions, but for the sake of those who are around them as well. In other words, they are called for an accountability, but also a responsibility to one another for the sake of the good of the community. So one of the things as this text is talking about is specifically about the law, and you hear the language of the court. And I want to tell you something, what we do in Zimbabwe, and particularly in most parts of the Southern Africa, is that when you commit a crime, you don't only commit a crime to an individual. When you commit a crime, you have committed a crime to the entire community. So again, that's the concept of Ubuntu philosophy. When you injure one, you have injured us all. So what happens? Of course, justice has to take its place. When you commit a crime, yes, you'll be taken to court and maybe to jail. But there is still another phase which the community will continue to do whilst you are serving your sentence in the jail. Because when you commit a crime, you have committed to the entire community. What happens if I commit a crime? My family, whilst I'm in jail, will take the responsibility. They go to the victim or to the victim's family. And also through a mediator or through another most respected person in the community to bring the two families. And they go and present. They'll be not talking as our family. Whoever is talking is saying me, I, he or she represents the wrongdoer in that particular time. So there's always the consciousness that when you injure one, you have injured us all. And again, there's a concept that we continue to build this relationship together. No matter this guy has gone, even when he comes or she comes back from the prison or from jail, he has got the opportunity to transition again into the community because the process has been going on for reconciling this community. So the concept is about these relationships. You know, I always give a lot of rules to my children. I think we also do at some point. I don't know, but I do a lot of them. And sometimes they say, oh, no, this is just too much. You are too hard. You are too hard on us. And yes, and sometimes it's overbearing, right? I give a lot of these rules. But as they grow up, and I also believe you as parents, sometimes you set these rules, like I said. Sometimes don't play in the street. Treat each other well. Don't talk meanly to each other. All these are intended to care and to protect them and to help them get from this life than they could otherwise. So when we start thinking and understanding that our actions not only reveal who we are, but also the communities of which we are part of, we begin to feel the weight that it means to be a member of that community. By the way, when you do good things, you're always happy, isn't it? You're always happy. But when you do something wrong, this is what our psalm that we sang this morning say. When you do something wrong, you are not yourself. But when you do something good, you are happy. And this is the purpose of the law. This is what we see, the purpose of the law in this case. But again, my friends, we live in a world which favors the rewards individualism and autonomy and independence. So to preach about connectedness, being together, it's not a common language at this day and age. You know, we just need to be ourselves. It's about me or my family. It's about me. So, my brothers and sisters, this morning, it's not just enough to refrain from murder. This is what Jesus said. We should also treat each other with respect. That means not speaking hateful words. And when you speak those hateful words, Jesus is saying, it's also as good as murder. Right? So Jesus, in other words, people are saying, was Jesus too radical in presenting the law? Or was Jesus moving away from the law? What was Jesus saying? Jesus saying is, you can move an extra mile. You can go above the law. In other words, he looks at your heart. It is about what is in your heart. It's not what you will do, because what you do is the result of what is inside. Do and move an extra mile. Even when you hate each other, you have killed. That's what is Jesus saying. So in other words, he said, you cannot do this by on your own. You cannot observe the law by its letter, as it is written, an eye for an eye. He is asking us to look beyond that. To look beyond what is written on paper in black and white. For Jesus, it means that we not only do not kill one another, we also need to avoid hatred and anger. Instead, we practice reconciliation in our relationships. We get angry, by the way. We do, right? But let me bring and ask ourselves, what is the purpose of the law as what Jesus is presenting in the text? So in the Old Testament, which I will begin with the thesis which Jesus began. In the Old Testament, the law is designed to show the disciples that they could not be holy on their own. And second, they were designed to bring all people to know the heart of God. And third, to separate and protect the Jews from sinful influences by the strictly defining their behavior. But let me pose this question to you. What do you do when faced with wrongdoing? Do you blame or you forgive? And when confronted with crime, especially the offenses that lie on the most severe end of the spectrum and cause victim terrible psychological and physical trauma or death, nothing can feel natural than to blame. We may feel a range of hostile, negative emotions such as hate, anger, resentment, indignation, disgust, contempt, and scorn towards the perpetrator. Like I said, I'm not saying You should not be angry. Anger isn't always a bad thing. Anger at injustice provides an impetus and a trajectory toward justice. So the problem becomes when anger is a way of life, or is a lens through which we view other people, and when interfere with our relationships. That becomes the problem. Because anger sometimes is good. I can say, you know what, Audra, I'm angry about you. And I'm mad about you. This is wrong. I tell you, this is not good. I'm angry. I tell my wife, no, I don't like this. I'm angry. But what happens after that? Sometimes we're angry to our kids, right? And no, I don't like this. I'm angry. But I'll say, come on, baby, come. Oh, I love you. You know, I love you. That is what should be. So Jesus is saying we should go beyond that, because when we do, we commit terrible harm to ourselves and to our loved ones. What do we do with the anger? Is there the anger to do good things? Yes, we need to be angry. When there are injustices across the country or in the world, we need to be angry and confront and say, we won't do this with justice. But now, let's see, Jesus is providing an antithesis of this law. And Jesus is calling us to look beyond the law, and it sees its goal and the end, the life and the health of the neighbor. And Jesus says we need to replace blame, hate, and anger with forgiveness. In other words, forgiveness functions here to repair the relationships. So here Jesus is saying, you go back, leave your gift. You go back and reconcile with your brother. Because he is concerned about the broken relationships. But again, forgiving is not forgetting. It's not. I can still remember what you have done to me, but I have removed you from my heart. Because sometimes when you are angry, the person that you hate lives in your heart, and it will be like a heavy load in your heart. You can imagine, if you're angry with me, I'm 190 pounds, you're carrying 990 pounds in your heart. So it's a burden to you, it's a burden to yourself. Free me, forgive me, and you're freed. But I'm not saying don't forget. You can continue to remember that. And again, forgiving is not accepting or minimizing the offense. Jesus is concerned about the weightier issues of justice, forgiveness, righteousness, and reconciliation. And he's saying forgiveness is the restoration and the healing of the broken relationships. But here's the good news. We act best not from our fearful conformity, but from compassionate concern and perfect love. I want to bring something to you in this text. Jesus is saying, everything is written as it is written in the law of Moses. Like us today, everything is presented, is given in the Bible, right? Everything. But Jesus is saying, I want to take you to look the scripture or the law, or in this case, as the congregation, to look the Bible, not as a noun, scripture as a noun. But Jesus is saying, I want you to look the scripture as a verb, scripturing. I don't know if that word is there in the dictionary. But I want you to look at scripturing, you know, scripturing. A witness to how God is really present among God's people. So when we see the accounts we see in the Bible, it could be the Ten Commandments, the prophets, the stories of the children of Israel, the Proverbs, and Jesus' utterances are always of scripturing God to the people in the community, in the present time, in different times, and in different contexts. So in other words, Jesus is saying, he's talking to his disciples on the Sermon on the Mount. You go and you begin to scripturing in the world. And how do you scripture? This is how you live. You go and love your neighbor. You go and reconcile with your brother. Begin scripturing. And this is what I'm challenging you this morning, my friends. You go out there and begin to scripture. Notice, to scripture to the community. You go and scripture to where you live. And our words will soothe. Our words will nurture and nourish the hearts of many when we begin to scripture in the communities we live. But as I conclude, my brothers and sisters, let me give you another, a proficient writer by the name Chinua Achebe in his book, Things Fall Apart. And again, he brings up the concept of Ubuntu as I conclude. He says, a man who calls his kinsmen to a feast does not do so to save them from starving. They all have food in their homes. When we gather together in the moonlight village ground, it is not because of the moon. Every man can see it in his own compound. We come together because it is good for the kinsmen to do so. You know what happens is, here in North, in the North America, you don't see the moon like the way we do in Africa. You know, the moon is so bright, big, and very close to us. Very beautiful. So, Chinua Achebe is saying, you know, because our in the rural areas, it's like this. We live as compounds like this. So, usually, like what you do, the bonfire here sometimes. So, when the moon is so bright and shining, the whole community will gather at the fire, you know, telling stories, different stories like that, as the community. So, Chinua Achebe is saying, when we do that, it doesn't mean that those cannot see their moon from their compounds. They can still see the moon. But what brings them here is because we are better when we are together. Because we want to live as community and we share these stories. We share these experiences. In other words, our children grew up knowing each other. And you always see one another as a brother or sister. So the chances of doing all these kind of bad things is limited because you are always in your heart, you feel for this other person. So when we come together, it is good for the kinsmen to do so. My friends, begin out there to scripture to the community. And when you do so, God is blessed. God is praised. In whatever we are doing. Amen.